Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And today's date is Friday, December 2nd, 2022. And today we're reading from the big book. We're on page 46, paragraph 2, which begins with, "Much to our relief we discovered," and ends with, "It is open, we believe, to all men." Commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Ann S. for the 12 steps, J.D. for the 12 traditions, Penny L.C. will read our text and comment this morning, Jody E. for page 164, and Julie E.B. is here to back us up. Thank you so much. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for December 1st is 19699. That's 19,699. And the reference number for today's 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 19701. That's 19,701. VOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Ann S. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, good morning. This is Ann S., a recovered compulsive overeater from Maine. And here are the steps from the big book. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to all compulsive overeaters and to practice his principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you very much, Ann S. And I'll now ask Shay D. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Shay D. from California. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, J.D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 46, paragraph 2, and I will now ask Penny C. to please begin reading for us.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service, and good morning. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Much to our relief, we discovered that we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with Him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe, underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction. Provided we took other simple steps, we found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek Him. To us, the realm of the Spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive, or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. And as I learned in the paragraph before, I had some prejudice, and my bias was going to be needed to be looked at. And so, setting aside what I thought I knew, I can look at this paragraph and see that I was spiritually sick and I needed some spiritual infusion, so to speak. And, you know, I knew in my heart that my God was all-loving, all-powerful, and wanted what is best for me. But I had been just sort of indoctrinated with education of the religious type, and that is not the God of my understanding at that. When I first came into recovery, my God had some attributes that kept me at a distance, so to speak, just because of a sense of that I was never enough to go to that God, or that God was judging me. And so I am so grateful to know that even though I don't get to choose my eye color, I don't get to choose my height, but I do get to choose my concept of my higher power. And then I get to choose working on an ongoing relationship to my higher power of my conception. And as it was explained to me that this chapter is full of promises, of reasons to believe. And this paragraph holds promises in it. Our own conception, no matter how inadequate, was sufficient to make approach to effect contact. You know, that tells me I don't have to have any special connections or attributes. I just need to choose to make the effort. And I'm also told that I would begin to possess a new sense of power and direction. But with these promises, there are some conditions, and here's one of them, provided we took other simple steps. And there are 12 of them that I'm aware of. At this point, I've taken one and found out I was powerless, but now I'm taking two to find out that I, you know, can come to believe, and there will be 10 more that I need to follow through on. I get to follow through on. And I get to work on that personal connection, you know, because I want to be for one of those who is seeking my higher power. And, you know, just the gift of being in a place of seeking and being in a place of being teachable. I can be honest about my beliefs, open to new beliefs, and willing to believe. Uh-huh. Okay. And willing to have a belief of my own conception. And what a gift. Thank you, and I'll pass.
What a gift. Thank you very much, Penny LC. Okay, so we value everyone's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, then please press star 1 to unmute if you'd like to comment on this paragraph. Page 46, paragraph 2.
Veronica B.
Noel E.
I heard
B.
Veronica B. Noel E. I heard
Jane.
Justin didn't get the last name, and then that's as much
Jamie,
as
Jamie, Southern California, Jamie M.
Okay.
Teresa
Veronica
C.
Noel. Okay, Teresa C. I have Veronica L, I believe, Noel, Justin, Jamie M, and Teresa C. Anybody else want to get in the lineup? Okay, please share with us, Veronica. You'll be followed by Noel.
Good morning. I'm Veronica B., a recovered compulsive overeater in bulimic in California. And thank you for your service. My heart's just pounding so hard because there is no doubt in my being, in my heart, in my soul, that there is a higher power working in my life today. And there's a couple of really beautiful things in this paragraph. And up until this Weagnostics chapter, I've learned all about the disease of compulsive eating, my allergy to the body, my obsession of the mind, my mental twist, you know, my mind that tells me I don't have a disease or I don't have this problem. And I've learned all about that, and I've taken step one. I am surrendered. My life is unmanageable because of my compulsive eating. And then now we get to read a chapter about we agnostics. You know, all for me, I have so much prejudice coming into program. So the way they organize this book is just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Because I've taken step one, I'm surrendered, and now it tells me that my only solution is to get a relationship with the higher power of my understanding. And this relationship is going to restore me the sanity. This relationship is going to relieve my obsession to my alcoholic food. This relationship is going to help me stop fighting everyone and everything. That's what this book is meant to do, right? To help me get a relationship. And this chapter is all about helping me have an open mind, helping me set aside everything I think I know about God. And for me, I was God. Like, I thought I knew it all. I thought I knew what was best for you. And this is telling me that on my own power, I cannot stay abstinent. I cannot live a life of freedom and happiness and joy. And it tells me that I don't have to believe anybody else's conception, that I can start with my own conception of my own higher power. Yay, that's really great news for me. And then it goes on to tell me that that this is available for anyone that seeks him. Well, seeking is an action, so I have to continue to do this step work so that I can get more open and I can find out what's blocking me from this beautiful relationship that I have with God. It's in the self-examination that I get to see what's blocking me from God. And, you know, someone earlier said, you know, seeking is like hide and seek. It's like you have to take an action. You have to go looking for God. I got to go looking for God, like, hello, good morning, God. Like, please come into my day. Like, help me be divorced of self-pity, self-seeking, selfish motives today, God, you know. And this is like how I start my day. And throughout the day, I ask God for help, even when I think I don't need help. Even when I think I don't need help, I ask God for help. You know, this is a beautiful program, and I get to live on a different basis today, a spiritual basis where I get to, like, help others, and I can't do it alone. I need God's help. Everything I do today, I need God's help, because God is the only one that has the power to change me. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Veronica B. Okay, Noel, you are up next, followed by Justin.
Good morning. This is Noelle Yee, gratefully recovered here in Louisiana. thank you, everybody, for your service on this line. Man, this whole paragraph is just so beautiful. I don't know if I have fellows out there that read the big book the way I do, but it's a lot of green going on. And much to our relief, we discover we did not need to consider another's conception of God. That was basically when I read that the first time. I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I could have my own conception of God. You know, my whole life I was told who God was. And then the next line, how our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach to effect a contact with him. And you know, my own conception, what felt like a flicker right at first when, you know, given this permission, now is the flame that burns deep, deep, deep inside of me and has always been there. As a child, God came to me at summer camp in the form of the river and a blue heron flying over the river, protecting me on it. And that's my higher power today, which is evidence that God was always there. And that's always what I believed God to be, but it was all these other places that, you know, I was being told what God was, and God was fit into this form and this way. And I could never, you know, I was always disappointing this God, and I was always questioning myself. And I was always inadequate. Like, it's so interesting here that it says our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient. Like, that was my conception of my higher power, was that I was never enough for them. And the truth today is that exactly as I am, gratefully recovered today, but, you know, unrecovered in the disease, God wanted me exactly as I was. You know, God wants me exactly as I am. And also, I love the part where it's like, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. That is the truth. You know, I just feel like anytime I get to a place where I'm like, especially right now at Christmas, my name's Noel, guys. My birthday is coming up. I'm a Christmas baby. I love Christmas. And also, you know, my higher power is not within the realms of what I was always taught about it. But that, you know, it's fine to love it and to love what we're celebrating all the same. Like, that my higher power is just like these giant arms that keep stretching wider and wider and wider, holding everything in that's good. So, I thank everybody for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Noelle. Okay, Justin is up next, followed by Janice M. Oh, Jamie M.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm Justin B., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in the state of Washington. I love this paragraph. Much to my relief, as soon as I admitted the possible existence, I started feeling that relief, this promise of as soon as I did this, I began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction. I began to recognize my own, yes, my own powerlessness, my own the unmanageability of my own life. I also began to be possessed with this power that is much greater than myself, this power that allows me to look across the room at the buffet and say, that's not my food. The power that allows me to put down food that is not good for me. And that power is much greater than I am. That's a power that I never had my whole life, no matter how much I thought I had, no matter how much success I had in my life and other areas of my life. Food was one of the areas that bedeviled me. And this promise of, you know, as soon as I grasp the concept that I am not the greatest power, that I am not God, that there is a power greater than me, that is much, that is sufficient, that is mighty, that is able, and I am not. But as soon as I link up with that power, I can do things that I otherwise could never do. What an amazing miracle that is in my life, provided I took other simple steps. And I think for me, at least at this point in the book, those other simple steps are to continue to be reminded and remind myself that I'm powerless. Be reminded and remind myself that I am, that my life is unmanageable, and continue to be reminded and remind myself that there is a power greater than myself and that I am not that power. Anyways, I am still a compulsive overeater. I'm Justin, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Justin. Okay, Jamie M., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Teresa C. Please share with us, Jamie.
Yes, I am Jamie M. in Irvine, California, grateful, recovered, compulsive eater, exercise, bulimic, health binger. And so basically, step one, I am powerless over food. I am powerless over everything. And what is amazing to me is I am learning every day the lessons that my God, my higher power, something greater than myself, gives me. And when my eyes are open and my ears are listening and I can smell and taste the God, my life becomes manageable even when I don't think it is. God is giving me lessons and I'm learning. Because my favorite tradition when I walked into this room and learned about the traditions was tradition three, the desire to stop eating compulsively. And I'm going to be honest, that was the best thing because that kept me coming back as a newcomer. That gave me hope. I don't know why. My first spiritual lesson I will never forget, and I didn't realize it was a higher power of God. I had worked in a flower shop. I was sharing this with my sponsor. And I was new in Massachusetts, and, you know, it was live a long time ago. And I had worked in a flower shop for one of my neighbor's friends, and I made cash, and I thought I was the bomb, and I was cool, and, you know, all the nine yards of me and my stinking thinking. And so when my sponsor wanted me to sit down at the table, imagine you sit down at the table and eat with God, she said, buy flowers. I told her flowers die. I worked in a flower shop. It's a waste of money. I was just so negative to this person that was just trying to help me. But I listened. And when I got the flowers, I put the mask. I didn't have a cell phone then, so I couldn't take a picture. And at the time, I had a spiritual awakening because not only were those flowers that I spent probably $3 on, were probably the best $3 of my life because I watched them grow. I saw the beauty in the flowers I didn't see because I was in program. I worked in the flower shop. I had seen arrangements, but I didn't see them the way I saw those $3 flowers. And that was my first spiritual awakening. without knowing. So all I know today is each lesson, each thing I learn, each moment is a spiritual awakening. And when I get in the driver's seat of my bus, it seems my life becomes unmanageable. My disease wants to sit next to me, and hallelujah, let's go play in the playground. But when I'm with God, my head is peaceful. I do the next right thing, and I trust the process. So thank you for letting me share, and I hope everybody has a beautiful weekend. God bless.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Jamie M. And Teresa C. is up next, and after Teresa, we'll take another lineup on page 46, paragraph 2. Much to our relief, we discovered ending with, "It is open, we believe, to all men." So please share with us, Teresa C. Star 1 to unmute, Teresa.
Thank you. Good morning. Teresa C. from New Jersey, compulsive overeater and food addict in recovery. First of all, I want to thank everybody that's shared so far. My goodness, what inspirational reflections on this paragraph. What stuck out to me was the second sentence, "Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient." So I was thinking in terms of, you know, I'm trying to establish a relationship here with my higher power. And it was encouraging for me to know that there wasn't just, I wasn't told how I was to do this. I'm establishing a relationship between me and my higher power. So it's up to us to decide what that relationship will be and what my conception is of my higher power. And then I also liked at the end of the paragraph when they talk about, I like the sentence, "God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him." That let me know that this is not going to be a difficult relationship. I've been in difficult relationships in the past. That this was not going to be someone who's going to resist things and or criticize or anything. That my higher power, as other people have expressed, you know, has open arms and really wants this relationship with me. That's such a beautiful feeling. I love the way, you know, Bill writes in this, "The realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive." That concept is very dear to my heart, too, the fact of accepting that I'm accepted and that really everyone is accepted. So, you know, it that includes me. And that's important for me to know. Never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. So again, you know, confirmation of the inclusiveness of a higher power, concept of a higher power. And so if God will accept everyone, then he'll accept me too. You know, the God of my understanding, my higher power. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Teresa C. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 46, paragraph 2, much to our relief, please, and you haven't shared in the last 2 days, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Marilee W.
Linnea B.
Linnea B.
Camelia.
Was that Camelia?
Emilia.
Okay. Amelia H. Thank you so much. Anybody else?
Mo H.
Mo H. We've got room for two more, I think.
Chris W., Chris with a K from Tennessee.
Sharon O. Chris W. and Sharon O. Sounds great. Okay, so I've got Marilee W., Linnea B., Amelia H., Mo H., Chris W., and Sharon O. So if you're not Marilee W., please press star 1 to mute your phone. And Marilee, please share with us. Marilee?
Hi, sorry, it took me a second. I'm Marilee W. I live in Colorado, and I am a compulsive overeater and restrictor. So just some of my experience with this whole chapter, when I first read it, I was so confused. There were a lot of big words that I did not understand. I was very blocked, so I didn't really comprehend what they were saying, and that was okay. The simplicity of step 2 is it can start with just a hope that I saw in other people's eyes or heard in other people's voices within the fellowship that were recovered, that they once were where I was at and they weren't there anymore. And that is all it took. I had a lot of anger at God, the word God. I had a lot of rage. I think anger is actually a light word for what I had. There was a lot of blame. I did not know if there was this higher power God that my life looked the way it did. And there were a lot of belief systems around that, but I didn't have to know that at the point of step 2. It was really just the hope and then also a willingness. It says to believe that there's a power greater than myself, but even when I struggled with that and all the anger and the rage, and my higher power was okay with me yelling, I remember yelling just up in the air about how mad I was, and the prayers, I would just cry, but I had a willingness to start saying them. And it does give us in this paragraph, capitalized words. So it's really anyone's own conception. And I didn't even have to say the word God in the prayers. And so, we're not really at a point now where there's any prayers, except it is starting to talk about laying aside prejudice. I love that, laying aside what we think we know. And there was a place, too, of just a willingness that I didn't know everything, that maybe I didn't know everything. And that I had hope that what worked for other people, and I was willing to go through the process because I knew that I was dying from this disease. So if anyone else out there feels that way, it's okay. And, I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilee W. Lania B., you're up next, followed by Amelia H.
Hi, thank you so much. Linnea B. here from Minnesota, compulsive overeater on my way to being recovered. I'm in the middle of the steps. What a paragraph for me every time I read it, and especially today. In 1986, I had my second child, and 2 weeks later, he died. And in 1987, a year later, 13 months later, I had my third child, and he also died. And a year later, I had my fourth child, who is alive. So my first and fourth children are alive. My first, during that time, in 1987, when Willie was born, I had a relapse. I was in OA, and I had a relapse. And I gained maybe 40 or 50 pounds that year. And then when Joey died, I gained another 40 or 50 pounds. So I was using food very much so as my solution, which, of course, it has boomeranged and is not a solution. So the other day, my oldest child had a life-threatening condition that the doctor said usually almost always kills people, but it didn't kill her. And actually, and her prognosis is good. But this really tripped up some feelings and memories for me, as I'm sure you can understand. And thank God for my sponsor. Thank God for this meeting. And thank God for this big book and this paragraph. You know, it just, it opens the door to hope and the solution for me today. It, the realm of the spirit is broad and roomy. It's okay. You know, I can trust, and I'm not using food today. I am abstinent today. You know, I can trust my higher power. I can trust these 12 steps. I can trust my sponsor in this fellowship. I have a solution today, and if I don't want to compulsively overeat into the gates of insanity and death, which is what I was doing, you know, I can take this paragraph as some serious hope and some serious proof. You know, these guys, they left out what didn't work. This was a book of their experience. And that means everything to me. You know, and they make it so easy, easy peasy, and gentle, so gentle for me to rely on a higher power. Thank you, I will pass.
Thank you, Linnea B. Amelia H., you're up next, followed by Mo H. Please share with us, Amelia.
Good morning. This is Amelia H. from New Hampshire. Gratefully abstinent for today. I am one of those folks who grew up in church, happened to be a preacher's kid. And so all my life, I thought I had it in the bag when it came to believing in God and trusting God and having a relationship with God. And then coming into this program and realized, oh, no, my God was sugar. And I knew how to worship at the altar of sugar so well. I had been doing it for 40 years. And realizing in this space, having been abstinent since August at this point, that I am having to start from scratch. I am learning how to be in relationship actually with my higher power. And it's the most incredible feeling to realize I'm starting at the beginning. And there's so much grace and mercy in that for myself, but also for my higher power, who totally gets that I'm starting at the beginning. And just having to take baby steps. I mean, even remembering to invite God into anything and everything. My prayer isn't, God, help me. It's, God, could you do me a favor and remind me to ask you to help me? Because it's just not built into my practice yet. And I'm okay with that and just walking that step one by one. But at this point, it makes me laugh that's where I'm at. The other piece is that I'm just so grateful for what abstinence brings to my heart, especially in space, to see and hear the things that my higher power wants to show me, and gaining lessons and awareness and vibrancy from that. And at the same time, also in asking my higher power to walk with me in this particular season, because it is my first holiday season free from sugar and compulsive eating behaviors, and there is so much grief, not just the grief about the things that I'm quote can't do or not doing that I would have done in previous years, but also all of the buried grief from the past 40 years is coming up in different waves. My body is translating that forward, and just trying to be very patient and quiet and sit with it, and just acknowledge that this is a season this year for me of grief, and that I don't have to, Thank you. I don't have to do it alone, and I am so grateful. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much, Amelia. Okay, Mo H., you are up next. Please share with us.
Well, thank you very much, Elaine. Thank you for your service and everyone giving service on the line today. I am Mo H., recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict in Northern California. So what I noticed in this chapter that Bill says two times, for those who seek him, he says that over there in the middle, and then at the end he says those who earnestly seek. And I found out a long time ago that this chapter, we agnostics, means we without knowledge. And I came into the rooms with a ton of knowledge about God and thought I knew it all, and proceeded to skip steps 2 and 3 when I was studying the steps. I mean, I didn't skip them. I went through them, but it was like, yeah, I know God. I've got a concept of God. I'm good with God. But I really did not know God inside me, a real true God of my soul. And this chapter is not to prove there is a God, but to let God show himself. And I'll tell you, as the longer I'm here with this group and the longer I'm studying and the more depth that I get into different things in my life, I am stepping back and letting God show himself, such as in a small situation yesterday. You know, since my husband passed, you know, it's like, don't I decorate, you know, how much, da-da-da-da. And, you know, it came to me, I don't have to do that much. And it just felt right. And I know when it feels right in my body that that's God speaking to me. And that's God, you know, saying, it's okay. And I really appreciate all the shares and everything everybody has said, because it just helps me have a deeper understanding of how God works in my life. And I call it God, but I also do say higher power. And, you know, so I'm earnestly seeking God in all that I do today and every day. And I connect the first thing I get up in the morning. And throughout the day, I look out and I see my hummingbirds and, you know, I see God, I see my husband, and, you know, I'm at peace with that. So I think with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you very much. Chris and Sharon, if you could each take 2 minute shares, that would be awesome so we can end the meeting on time. So Chris W., please share with us.
Okay, I'm Chris W., Chris with a K, and I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. So what stuck out at me was God doesn't make it too hard and to find him. And I know when I first got in the 12-step meetings, what my understanding was that God was mad at me all the time. He hated me and was always out there waiting to punish me. And I heard someone say, just make your own concept. And it was so simple. It was, I wanted a nice God. That's all I could think of. And so in the meantime, 41 years later, I'm back in the program for a couple years now, but I finally understood like the set aside prayer. I used to, I would just think of, I wouldn't pray at meals because I knew, how could I pray? That's so dishonest because I'm going to binge at this meal. So I had a negative thought about God and praying and around food because of my, my prejudice. So I realized after I got abstinent, started working the steps, everything about God has been changing in my heart. And I invite him to be with me sometimes when I'm eating, and I'll talk to him about how good his food is and thanking him for my abstinence and my sobriety and all those things. And it's totally a different thing. And I became finally willing to do whatever it takes to get clean and sober with my food, like with a nutritionist, a new sponsor, working the steps again. And now I'll be announcing myself as a sponsor at the end of the meeting. And, you know, I can pass on the things that God has been showing me. But I finally realized I wasn't doing any of this on my own. And I didn't want to put the food down for all these years. But now I not only want to, God has made it possible that it is down, and I'm doing everything I can to keep it down. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much. Oh, perfect. Thank you very much, Chris W. And Sharon O., you'll be our last share for today. And if you could share for 2 minutes, that would be so helpful. Sharon O., star one to unmute.
Yes, Sharon O. here. From the, I live in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. You know, I really wanted to have the conception when I came into the program that other people had, especially that was strong of God. My background growing up was Southern Baptist and felt like a lot of damnation. Plus, I also, like many other folks, had very dysfunctional, abusive growing up, and I always said, where was God in all of that? Where was God in all of that? But 2 or 3 years ago, I looked back on my past without a victim stance and saw that there were many people along the way in my life that had supported me and cared for me. And had they not been there, life would have been a lot worse. I got in touch with several of those people, and they were surprised that I felt like they had made an impression on my life. Today, I continue to build those personal relationships with my higher power by starting out in the morning when it's my time for quiet time by saying, I'm here, I'm available. I want to now be that tool, that instrument. And as a Native American person, it is very important for me to have that very personal relationship with this higher power that is androgynous, half man, half chief, half warrior, half, you know, woman. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you for the service today.
Oh, thank you very much, Sharon O., and everybody that has shared with us. What a fabulous meeting. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. please read A Vision for You?
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in Monterey, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.